Jesus is all we need. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we confess even with the song that we have just sung that we need you. You are all that we need. We thank you this morning, God, for giving us life. We thank you, God, for allowing us to be in your house. We thank you for being there for us. We thank you for your word, O God, and we thank you for your spirit that lives in us, that has given us the desire to hear your word and to live according to your word. Father, I just want to commit myself into your able hands. I pray that you hide me behind the cross of Jesus, Lord God, and I pray that I will decrease as you increase. Lord, minister to us through your word. We surrender to you, Lord God. Have your way. For in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. For those who are visiting with us, which I don't really see anybody new, my name is Gordon Agingo. I love the Lord as my Lord and Savior. And that gives me the joy because it made me to connect with God in a way that I did not want to, or I didn't want even to think about. But because of his love and his grace, he called me and I accepted and I gave my life to him. And that is some years back. The Lord has been faithful and good to me, and that's one of the decisions I keep on saying that, you know, I've made a lot of mistakes. The only PhD I have is in foolishness. And this one here actually is one of the best decisions that I ever made, to follow Christ at the age of 9. The Lord has been faithful. This far the Lord has brought me. I don't take credit for anything. But I don't regret giving my life to the Lord in such early age. I'm here to cover for Pastor Mike. He's out. He passed his love to you all. And every time I have the opportunity to stand before you, I appreciate Pastor Mike more. Not that I don't appreciate him. I appreciate him more, even more. Because I know that it's hard. But thank God that we don't do it in our own strength. I want to start by telling you a story about this young man who, in growing up, the parents were Christians and they were praying most of the time. At a very early age, one time this boy woke up and found the mother, the father, and the grandfather praying. And so he was curious to know and started looking for the father, because everybody in the room was praying and talking to the father. And he could hear the father, he could hear God. And so this young boy was curious and looked and searched everywhere just to find where this God is, where the father is. And this was going on every single day. As a result of that, he developed interest in making sure that he doesn't fall asleep during the time when people are praying, so that he can see this God walking in and see this Father walking in without struggling to look at where he's hiding. So he continued like that in his life, to the point when he realized, he asked his dad one time and said, "Dad, who is your daddy? Because I've not seen your daddy." The dad had passed, the grandfather had passed. And he asked the mother the same thing. And so he came to realize that God is the Father. And that was an opportunity for the dad and the mom to explain to him who God is and how God cares about us and why we address him Father. This boy grew up to put his trust and became a Christian, and all his life, during the young age, he had a lot of issues going on health-wise. So one time he was very sick, to the point where nobody really hoped that he was going to live. And so he was lying on the floor and the mom was praying for him. And one of the things that the mom said, "God, you gave me this child and I'm giving him back to you." So the boy was like, "Okay, what's going on?" And the mother said, "Not what I want, but what you want. Let your will be done." So the young boy picked up on that. And so growing up, he was healed, he was fine, he lived. And growing up, he came to realize that this God, the Father, hears prayers and answered prayers. At the tender age, when the boy was about to go to high school, this young boy decided that he's going to share and talk about this God the Father with his friends. And there were questions that people could not really understand, rather things he could not understand and could not explain. All he knew that God is the Father, and he loves everyone, and he sees everything that we do, and he cares about us than anything else. So that's the only answer he could give his friends, that God loves you, God cares for you. And you know, you can ask God anything, and he will do it. Because in his life, he had experienced, you know, what the prayers that the parents were praying, God was answering them in different ways. So he grew up loving and trusting God in everything. One time, this young man was faced with situations that he could not be able to explain. And so he decided to go and pray to the Father. And actually, what he was asking the Father did not happen. And so that started to make him question whether this Father is a real Father. And of course, that gave him time to talk to the Father more about the Father. So he came to realize one thing during their last time with the Father, talking about the Father, that going to the Father is a relationship. Having the Father, talking with him, asking questions or asking for things, is the relationship that you have with the Father. So you don't need just to be to the Father when you need things, but all the time you need to know he's with you. And him being with you, it doesn't matter what. Even some of the things you might ask, he may not answering them the way you want them to answer, but he's with you. So the Father told him that, remember, God holds you in his hand all the time. So no matter what happens to you, those things will happen when you are in the arms of the Father. So I told that story to help me get into the scripture and to the topic that I want us to talk about today. And so this is a kind of a difficult topic to tackle. It's about relationships. In every life stage, people fight and long to be in relationship. And so I was looking at the definition of relationship, and what I found is that the definition is the way in which two or more concepts, objects, or people are connected or state of being connected. So one thing I learned is that in relationship, there has to be a connection. For those who are here in the morning when Mike was giving announcement, you heard about Mike and Charlie. So there was a connection between Mike and Charlie, and that connection was them being in the men's class or whatever they were doing together. That's the connection that they had. So I want us to think about that. You've been in relationship, and what happens when those relationships are broken? I want you to think about that. If ever you've been in any kind of relationship, think about what happened when that relationship was broken. And it happens around us all the time. There are a lot of things that surround the brokenness in a relationship. There was connection in this relationship that something happened and there became disconnection. And as a result of the disconnection, the pain came in, lack of trust came in. Hatred sometimes came in. A lot of things comes in when that connection is not there. So this brings me to the topic of the subject we are dealing with today. And I want to title the message, Prayer is a Relationship, Not a Religion. Prayer is a relationship, not a religion. And so definitely you know where I'm going with this. We are going to learn more about prayer. The beginning of this month, I challenge everybody and ask everybody to pray and ask God to give you a prayer partner. And I hope you took that assignment seriously, because next month we'll be moving to the next step. So if you have not, it's still time. And remember the story about the God and the Father, and the Father and the Son. He's faithful, he can answer your prayer. But I think one of the things that he will definitely answer is if you are in need of having somebody to pray with you as your prayer partner. So, prayer is a relationship, not a religion. Nobody forces people in relationships. You make a choice. And when we talk about prayer, this is one of the things that we see right in the life of Christ himself. God made a relationship right from the beginning. When you look at the book of Genesis, God started by talking about the relationship, the importance of relationship. He said, let us. It means there's a connection. He had Christ with him talking about creating you and me, because he cared so much about that relationship. We look at him in the Garden of Eden when he was fellowshipping with Eve and Adam day and night. He was in relationship with them, constant fellowship with Adam and Eve, until sin came in. That's when that trust was broken. And what happened during that time? Sin came in and the relationship was broken. The fellowship that they used to enjoy with God each and every day stopped. And so God, showing how he was so caring and he knew the value of this relationship, he looked for them. They ran away, but God looked for them. When he was asking Adam, where are you? It's when he was talking of what's happening to them, what has happened. Because when they were in deep fellowship, they didn't care. They didn't know anything was wrong. They were just enjoying the fellowship and the relationship they had with God. And this very same thing happened in that God, in his love, and God valuing the relationship he had with his people, he found a way out to restore that relationship. So in other words, when the relationships are broken, there's a need to restore those relationships. And because it was so important for God, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to restore that relationship. So though we were separated, but because of Christ, our relationship was restored, amen? And I want to tell you that throughout the Old Testament, you see a lot of things were done to make this relationship back, but it could not work. The sacrifices were offered, but it could not work. It had to take God and to take his only begotten son to restore that relationship with us. So it's true that when Christ came, he had time with the Father. The Bible is very clear that he spent time praying. And he was praying because he wanted to have that relationship with the Father. It was not about asking God for anything. It was about having quality time with his Father. And when the disciples looked at this several times, they came to a point when they realized there was something that they really needed in being like Christ. And that's what you and me need. So one day, one of the disciples decided to ask him, Lord, teach us to pray. Because they admired and they realized there was something special about these meetings that Christ has with the Father. And that's when it was clearly explained it was relationship. I want to tell you that God loves to be in our relationship with us. And that's why he sent Christ to come down and die for us. And Christ understood the meaning and the usefulness of having that relationship with the Father. That's why he left his throne above and come and die for us. So throughout the time when Christ was in fellowship with his Father, he called him Father. The scripture records only one time when Christ did not call God the Father. And that's the time when Christ was separated with the Father because he was taking your place and he was taking my place. And that's when he was crying, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's the only time where we are finding this in the Bible, that Christ did not address God as Father. And so the disciples asked him to teach them how to pray. And with that, I want us to go to Matthew 6. And Angela will put that, if you don't mind, read it with me. And we are going to start from verse 9 to 14. And we are going to focus today on the first part of it, which is verses 9 and 10. Let's go ahead and read from verse 9. This then is how you pray. Let me just start it from 8 so that you know exactly what's going on, but we are going to go ahead and start from 6 to 14. I hope everybody's there. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your heavenly Father will not forgive you your sins. So I read the whole scripture, verses, the whole verses, but we are going to focus on our Father in heaven, piece of it. But I read all that to let you know that when Christ was teaching about this prayer, what was in his mind, what was important, the message he wanted them to get is the relationship. He wanted the disciples to realize that prayer is just not talking to God, prayer is not just asking God things, but prayer is a having relationship with God. And he gave a good example because he was talking about us, the connection that is there when we have a relationship. And he ends up with talking about the sin. And of course, talking about the sin, he was addressing the things that mess up the relationship. Because sin messes up our relationship, even with each other. And that's why he was talking about now forgive them as I've forgiven you. That's the point that I want us to realize, that in relationship, things are going to happen, but we have to learn to forgive, because the relationship is important to us. As God forgave you, so we should also forgive others who are sinning against us. So many times when we read the Lord's Prayer, or we say the Lord's Prayer, we tend to skip that first part of it. But I want us to think about why Christ decided to do that. So it is easy to skim through the opening line of the Lord's Prayer as if it's just some kind of plea, you know, kind of something we're doing, ding dong, you know, like I'm ringing the bell or shaking the hand. But before we get to the real things, we just want to say that and rush to asking questions, or rather asking things for God to do for us. So most of the time we don't take those first lines so important. And so that's why I wanted us to look at that. Why do we have to do that? The way we view God affects everything, about everything, and the primary purpose of our lives, according to the very first statement. And this statement is adoration. So God wants us to adore him. We invite God when we say, "Our Father." It shows that we value that relationship. We invite God to be who we are focusing on. We are appreciating God, knowing that we have a relationship with him. We are addressing our Father. I want us to think a minute. You know, when you are before your Father and you're talking to your Father as your Father, not just another man there. You know, you're talking to this man who loves you, who cares about you. And so when Christ taught the disciples to call God the Father, that was so strange to them. They didn't know. They didn't have a clue that you can address God as a Father. And this is what Christ wanted them to really understand. And we are talking about relationship. He wanted them to understand the connection, the relationship they have with the Father. And so when he told them to address God in this way, it's true for them to be surprised. Why is he telling us to do this? They knew that the scripture occasionally addressed God as Father, but they didn't know themselves they can address God as a Father. But Christ was trying to invite them to the intimacy, the love, the relationship that is needed when you're talking to God. He wanted them to understand that God loves them. God cares about them. God is not at distance. God is with them. And God loves them. So the level of intimacy that Christ wanted his disciples to understand when they go before the Lord and calling, "My Father, our Father, hallowed be your name." When he's inviting God to be part and parcel of you. When you're seeing God as your Father who is there, who is present, not at a distance. Who loves you no matter what. That's what Christ wanted the disciples to realize from there. So it was about the relationship, about the love. We are going in the presence of the Lord in prayer because we love God, not because we just need something from him. So this is so important that it's going to help you and it's going to help me to know that prayer is something that is a must in my life. For me to have that relationship with God, I have to make prayer part of me. Not somebody forcing me to pray, but I pray because I want to enjoy my relationship with the Father. I want to enjoy my friendship with the Father. I want to enjoy my intimacy with the Father. So most of our relationship, as I said it first, we have to work at them. I don't know any other relationship that you can maintain without working on it. Amen? And that's where we struggle, because it calls for some work. I'm not just going to say, "I love you," and I don't do anything to demonstrate actually that I love you. I'm not just going to say, "I care," without doing something that really demonstrates that I care. I'm not going to say all these things if I don't spend time with you. Most of us are old, but the young people are here. And of course, during the time when you start those relationships, you spend a lot of time. You really, really spend a lot of time. Somebody will tell you that, you know what, this thing can fade away. It's like you lost your mind. Because there's just no way that this relationship is going to die. I mean, I love this lady so much. I love this man so much. I'll do everything I can to keep this going. So you really work at it. If I can remember, I did a lot to work on mine. Okay? And so each one of us will work so hard to maintain those relationships. Because we value those relationships. All the time you want to be close to this person. All the time you want to talk to this person. And there are a lot of things at present that are really struggling, we are struggling with, you know, as they try to take us away from spending time with our Father. And so when Christ was teaching them what it means to pray and how to pray, he was thinking of everything that is happening even today. We have to work at this relationship. So spending time with God is not just going to be something that I do once a week. If I want the relationship to be strong, if I want to enjoy the intimacy with God, I have to spend time in his presence, speaking and listening to him. So there are a number of things that I want us to look for, or rather look at, as we go through this. And there are 4 points that will demonstrate to us why this is important. So the first thing, because relationship is so important to God, and that's what Christ was teaching the disciples, the first point is that because it's important, the prayer is expected. Point number one, prayer is expected. When this relationship with the Father, we have to spend time in this relationship with him. If we really want it to be strong and we want to enjoy it, we have to spend time with him. For this is the will of God for us, to be in a relationship with him. There's nothing else that God wants for you and for me than being in relationship with him and enjoying that relationship. And we know for sure, you and I know, that the will of God is good for you and is good for me. There's nothing else that is better for your life than the will of God. So it's expected of us. That's point number one. Now, if you know something is expected of you, come rain, come shine, you'll do it. So in other words, prayer, spending time with God is expected of us because we love God and we want to remain in fellowship with him. You want to remain in that relationship with him. And we know that his will for us is good. Point number two that I want us to think about, because of this relationship and the importance of this relationship, Jesus expected us to pray. Why? He knows the purpose, the importance. This is one of the things, if we call it his baby, because our relationship was developed, rather restored, as a result of Christ coming to take your place. Basically, what Christ did is coming into the pit of hell where you are, and where I was, and pulling us out of that and restoring us back to the Father. He wanted that relationship that bad that he's left his throne above to come and die for you. And this was a key thing for him. He wanted you and I to know that this relationship is essential. So he expects us to pray. It's not like we may or may not. So we have a number of scriptures, even when he was teaching the disciples how to pray. Matthew 6, 5 say, and when you pray. Matthew 6, 6 said, but when you pray. Matthew 6, 7 say, and when you pray. Matthew 6, 9. This then is how you should pray. In Luke 11, 9, so I say to you, ask, seek, and knock. And Luke 18, 1, then Jesus told his disciples they should always pray. So the then tells you basically that It's a must. It's going to happen. The only problem, or rather the only obstacle, is when it's going to happen. It will happen, you like it, you don't like it. Okay? But I want to tell you, there are some prayers, when they come, it's not about the relationship. And there's a struggle in that. I want you to think about everyday life. If this friend of yours, you don't call them, you don't talk to them, you don't spend time with them, and when a problem comes, you pop in, or rather, pop up. It's now when you realize I have a friend. I don't know how that will go. But I think it's very kind of artificial, you know? That's the time when you are coming and you want people to understand you. You want this friend so much to understand what you're going through. And guess what? There has never been any relationship. But you are going because now you are in need. And that's what happens with us. We go to the Father because something is happening. So we are making prayer not a priority. It's something that I have to do when I cannot do anything about it anymore. It's only God that can go to. And we see that a lot. Even those who call themselves atheists, they go to God when the situation comes, that when they reach that point. It's when they're now searching and saying, okay, there's somebody called God, I can call on them. And that's not the kind of relationship we want. So praying, we like it, we don't like it, we will pray. But it's more fun, it's more enjoyable, it's more fulfilling when we remain in constant relationship with God. Because we'll be talking to our Father, who cares about us, who holds us all the time, even when those trials come, when we know we have God, when you know He's with you, He's holding you, it's going to be a totally different story. Because the way you are going to be relating with Him is what you do each and every day. A preacher preached about being ready to go to heaven. And so he told everybody that you need to live like, you know, today is my last day, this minute is my last minute. The following Sunday, he had asked people, if you know that Christ is coming back today, what different thing will you do? And so many people had different things. I'll go and do this. I'll go and do this. I'll preach the gospel. I'll give everything I have. And this young boy who was in church said, Pastor, I know. I'll do the same thing I've been doing the whole week. Because last week you taught us that we need to be ready. So he was telling the pastor exactly what the pastor preached because he listened. And so when the pastor got some time with him, he said he really prayed about that. That actually I need to live as if Christ is coming any time from now. The same thing, we need to know that our relationship with God is so important. And each and every now and then, each and every time of our life, we need to spend time working hard to keep this intimacy, this relationship stronger. The third point, God's word makes it clear. In Colossians 4:2, the word of God says, devote yourselves to prayer. We all have to devote ourselves to prayer. The problem we're having is that we have a lot of things that are fighting with our time. We all have things that we put to be the top thing in your list. And even this morning, I know you have things that are so important to me, to you. When you make prayer a priority in your life, it's going to be on top of your list. That's what you're going to do before you do anything else. And the point is, you know that by doing this, my day is cleared. You know for sure that I have to devote my time to prayer. When you sacrifice for it, when you give to it, then you are devoted to it. That's what devotion is. When you give to it, when you sacrifice to it, it's a devotion. But I have good news for you. It's not something that's going to be so hard to you to do because you are in a relationship. You are in love with God. You enjoy being in His presence. You feel fulfilled. You feel His love. So God expects every Christian to devote to prayer. And that's why Christ was teaching them how to pray. Our Father, hallowed be your name. This rich man in a country of about 10,000 people had a young man in this country that was an ex-soldier and was devoted to giving a lot and doing a lot to the people in the community. So he admired his life and he really wanted to know the secret of this man. And so he decided to ask the man to come and visit with him. So during the time when the man came to visit with him, he really wanted to observe him and see what he's doing differently that has made him so different. And so most of the time he spent, even after the man went to his room, he was peeping through the keyhole just to see what was going on. And he said that this man was kneeling down and was crying to God and saying, "My God and my all." And that's the word that this man kept on repeating, "My God and my all." And he was shocked because he didn't think about prayer as something so simple as just calling on his God. And when I read about that story, I thought about what Christ was teaching us. Just knowing that this is my Father, you are lifting his name high. You're saying you are so good to me, Lord. You know, thinking about the awesomeness, the goodness of the Lord, that alone will make you go before the Lord. Christ in his teaching also talked about other things that people were doing publicly to demonstrate or that to show people that they love God, that they can pray. They had words, big words, long prayers. But Christ was pointing that out here. This prayer is about the relationship you are having with the Father. And so that's why the two lines of God's prayer is so important, that even if we want to ask things, who are we asking things? Who are we talking to? He's God. God makes, his word is clear that we need to pray. There's no doubt about that. The last part of it is in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, that says, "Pray continually. While devote yourself to prayer," the emphasis is about the, it's not about the activity, it's about being in the presence of the Lord. There are times when you can just be in the presence of the Lord without saying a word. And it's beautiful because you know you're in the presence of the Lord. And that's where our Father comes in. You've already addressed knowing that the Father is right there with you. So prayer is one, in one sense, an expression of a Christian and broken relationship with God. So think about it. As I said, in our normal everyday life, the times when we feel disconnected is when we don't fellowship, rather communicate with one another. When we don't listen to one another, those relationships cannot work. In the simplest human understanding, those relationships will not work. And the same thing happens in our relationship with God. There's something we have to do to strengthen, rather to strengthen those relationships. So to abandon prayer is cutting off that relationship with the Father. If we want to cut off that relationship, we need to stop praying. We need to stop spending time with God. When we lose that relationship, there's lack of sensing the nearness of God. And so we start running away. The guilt starts coming in. When we go before the Lord, you feel guilty. And remember, the Bible talks about the accuser. That's one of the accusations that the enemy gives to us the most. You didn't pray. You didn't read your Bible. You didn't do this. God will not hear you. All those things come in because we cut that relationship with God. So it's very important to us that we pray continually. And in my English understanding, continually means all the time. Okay? All the time. So should we stop doing the work we're doing to pray? No. Being in relationship doesn't mean you cut off. You talk all the time. Being in relationship is being, it's in you. That's why it's relationship. In this situation where I am, where is God? What would God want me to do? You know, even just recognizing and realizing you are here today because God loves you. You didn't do it on your own. Those are some of the things that makes you to adore God and just to exalt Him, to lift His name on high. I will admit to you that most of the time, prayer is not in the top of my list. My priority is no. I mean, I'm like, I have my to-do list, I have my schedules, I really want to run and complete these things. And I feel something missing in me. Most of you probably know me as a very emotional person. But what makes me emotional most of the time is if I look what God has done for me, where God has taken me from, the gift of salvation, the pain that Christ paid on my behalf. Those are things that when I'm in the presence of the Lord, I feel scared. I'm kind of afraid not to worship God, not to love God the way He wants me to love. I fail in those areas. And cutting this relationship with God scares me the most. If this happens in my life, I am scared. God not being in my life, God not being part of me. I'm alone, I'm left in wilderness. So when I say the prayer sometimes not being the top on my list of to-dos, it comes. That's the time when it will come. Because something will come which I will realize I cannot do this. I need God. And that's when I'm running back to God. And I will tell you, if the line between you, God, between you and God is clear, then communication is really enjoyable. Those times when I run away, I want to do things my way, I want to complete the things on my list, number one, number two, to the end, before I put prayer in, things don't get easy in my life. I find it so difficult. And by the time I realize that I need God in the situation, it's kind of have to go and search, where is God, where is God? It takes longer, the flowness is not there. I'm struggling to connect, to reconnect with God because I decided to neglect my relationship with Him. When our awareness of the greatness of God and the gospel dims, our prayer lives will be small. We'll spend very little time because we have just not come to realize how great it is to have this relationship with God, how great to spend time in the presence of the Lord. We cannot and we cannot afford to neglect being in a relationship with God. So as we think about the relationships, just as a way of ending up, winding up, we are reminded of what Christ did for us at the cross. I want us to think about that. Let's be reminded of what He did to restore this relationship back. And when we go before the Lord, we are going before the Lord because we have a relationship with God. We are going to our Father, who loves us, who cares for us, who saw it so important for us to get back and be in relationship with Him, who gave everything that He could give, the very special one, His only begotten Son. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That relationship, that's what Christ did, so that we can be restored back and we continue enjoying the fellowship and the relationship with the Father. When you think of what God has done for you, this needs to be important to you. Spending time with God. Most of the time, in many studies, they have found out that people don't pray because they don't know how to pray, but they don't pray because they don't have a relationship with God. In other words, they have taken this relationship not to be anything to them. We can walk in, we can walk out, when we want, when we don't want, we can stay away. And that's not a relationship. And that's what hinders most people, because we see God as not the Father, we see God as a distant God. We don't have intimacy with Him. So when God did this, and even just the intimacy we have as a church comes as a result of loving God. We love God so much that we love His people. And that relationship is right here in the scripture, the Bible. When Christ was teaching His disciples how to pray, He talked about us, our Father, the unity, the oneness that we are finding with our Father or in our Father. So this morning, actually, is my prayer that the Lord will help us to think really hard on how we relate with Him as the Father, knowing for sure that we are expected to pray, because in praying, we strengthen our relationship with God, our intimacy with Him. We also need to understand that it's clear that Christ wants us to pray. And that's the reason why He taught us how to pray. And it's also clear to know that we cannot be closer to God unless we pray continually, all the time, and we have to devote time to that. So all these things I'm asking, or rather I'm talking about, I'm not saying that I'm good in these areas. I'm challenged just like you are challenged. But this morning, the Lord wants us to think about something, and that is, how important is your relationship with God? I want to leave with this quote. The deeper we receive our identity as a dearly loved children, the greater our desire to spend time with our Father in prayer. The deeper we receive our identity as a dearly loved child or children of God, the greater my love, the greater our desire will be to spend time with Him in prayer. So I do challenge us this morning to think and ask ourselves, how is our relationship with God? How much do we devote in prayer? How much do we understand the greatness, the love of God? Because when we get to that point, our time with God will be telling God things rather than asking. Because the Bible is clear, He knows everything that you need, even before you open your mouth to talk about it. There's nothing that God doesn't know about you. And He knows what is best for you. So it will be a sweet conversation with the Father, knowing that He cares, knowing that He loves you. Know that He doesn't sleep, He does not slumber. He's there for you and for me. Anytime He wants you to spend time fellowshipping with Him, He wants you to spend time loving on Him and experiencing His love. There's nothing else, church, that is so important, that understanding that God loves you and He wants you to be in deep relationship with you. And that starts when you invite Christ to come into your life, to be the Lord and the Savior of your life, because it's going to really make you see how God wants you to be in a relationship with Him. So I challenge us to take it seriously. Everything that you have, everything that is on your list there, they will be taken away from you. Yesterday we were talking and saying that, you know, the life we think we have, we don't see how meaningless it is until it's taken away from you. And by that time, it's too late. There's nothing that is sweeter and better than being in relationship with God and valuing that relationship. Amen? So it's my prayer this morning that our deepest desire will be to spend time with God and enjoy the intimacy that He has invited us to have with Him. So the rest of the time, I want us just to spend time and cry out to the Lord. Look at the things that are hindering your relationship with God. Look at your priority list and see where spending time with God is. Is it number one, or is it in the bottom of your list? It comes with a lot of responsibility, church. I will just give you a little testimony of myself, that from the time that I realized how much I need God, the body of Christ has been more important to me than anything else, because I understand that I cannot and I will not be able to do it alone. I need you. I need your encouragement. I need your prayers. I need your rebuke. You know, when I'm going wrong, I need somebody to tell me, God, that's wrong. That's not reflecting the love that we have in our God. Every time I come to church, I've never gone home the same church. Just the faces and seeing the love. I know, just as we had the story of Mike and Charlie, you know, I know where everybody sits. And I love to see those faces. And so I'm asking that let's get deeper in that and know what our relationship with God will do to our fellow brothers and sisters and what it means to the church of God. That's the bride of Christ. And that's where we exercise the gifts, the sweetness of the fellowship we have with the Father. We exercise that. We share it right here. And so I do encourage you, spend time with God. Pray. I told one of my coworkers this week, because the snow was coming, everybody was worried. And so I know she's a believer. And so we are texting back and forth, and she's like, you know what, my pressure has been going up, knowing that the snow is coming. And so I say, did you sing this song in your Sunday school? Why worry when you can pray? Why worry when you have a relationship with God? So I want us to spend some time now just to pray. One of the things I want you to pray for You don't have to come here. If you want to come, that's fine. But I want you to pray that you will start from now really value the relationship God wants to have with you and ask him that you need him. The next thing I want you to pray for, let's have a united prayer that the Lord will identify somebody. He will help us identify a prayer partner. And in our prayer partner group, we'll be identifying things that we want to pray for 2 to 3 minutes every week, every day, until the answer comes. 2 minutes to 3 minutes. What is so important to you? And of course, one of them is going to be having this intimacy with God. So pray for your partner. As the Lord directs you to your partner, I pray that his or her relationship with God will be stronger. And that prayer will be 2 to 3 minutes every day. And wait and see what God will be able to do. And lastly, I want us to pray for our community. Because the relationship we have with our Father needs to be contagious. It's going to be so contagious that the people will want to have what I have. Because the love of God is reflected in my life and in your life. We are going to value the things that our Father values. We are going to devote our time to what God values. And if you are here and you're not a believer, that relationship starts by believing and inviting Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of your life. And I will hate not to give you opportunity to come, and I pray with you to receive Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. So as the music team come, I want us to pray and ask God to help us in those areas. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We worship you and we adore you. You are a loving Father. You're so loving, oh God. We thank you that you valued us so much, even in our lostness, Lord, and you sent Christ to come and die for us. And Father, this morning we long to be in relationship with you. Lord, we want to enjoy the intimacy that you created us to enjoy with you. So this morning, Father, I pray that you will minister to us, touch our hearts, reveal to us the darkest parts of our life, things that are hindering our relationship with you from growing stronger. Lord, I pray that you will rearrange our priorities, Lord, and make that which is eternal be more important than the perishable, Lord. We love you, Father, and we surrender to you. Even this time, Lord God, as we call on you and wait upon you, Lord God, may your Spirit point to us the areas in our life that you want us to expose to you and allow you to have your way in. In Jesus' name, amen.